in the swing. Pull in the swing. Pull in the swing. Pull in the swing tech show.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another session of the Linux Link Tech Show. This is the Wednesday, the 19th, our ninth show. My name is Alan, and I'm totally unprepared for tonight, as normal, which is just normal for us. Be back to you in just a few moments after this quick promo. And you guys take it over, because it ain't working.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by putting your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any...
You enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by putting your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there's the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal to Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux Users Group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together. Go ahead.
All right, we're back again. I'm a little slow tonight getting the signals from Dan here on it. We got a good show for you tonight. Dan's going to talk to you about it because he's got the sheet in front of him, not me. And I'm on the other side of the room here. So between all three of us here, we should have a really good show for you tonight. At least that's what we're hoping for. So, Dan, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to talk about tonight?
So how's it feel there, Alan, just swinging in the breeze like that?
Yeah, it's being hung out to dry. Everything I thought about saying tonight just went out the window.
Alan's first ever host of the broadcast, and he's a little bit nervous about it, but I think he's doing pretty good. What do you think, Dan?
I think he's doing just fine. Just fine. He's going to go home and get himself a goatee.
Yeah.
All right.
Home and get a drink.
A drink.
calm me down a little.
So tonight, an action-packed show. We prepared in advance. What, 10 minutes?
10, 15 minutes at least. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we're going to have a little, of course, the tech show contest.
Right.
The final clue. It's going to be really easy.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be rushing with the answer to get it emailed to us. Talk about some software licensing woes. What's up with my network at work? Discussion about Soddy Potty. And our blog wars have started. So we'll kick things off this evening with some news, because I know Link is chomping at the bit to talk about or readdress an issue from last week. Distribution.
The distribution stuff.
I don't know. What were you saying before?
Well, I don't have a whole lot of information on it yet myself either. It's something that I was going to look up in the 10 minutes before the show, but it just didn't seem to happen.
You're too busy playing with your blog.
Too busy playing with my blog. What I wanted to discuss a little bit was, again, what kind of things are going on with the major Linux distros. But since I'm kind of at a loss at it right now, did anybody have any comments? Again, we know that Novell has purchased SUSE, and also the Xeemian desktop.
A lawsuit.
Right, and now they're getting sued by SCO because SCO thinks that it was some kind of conflict of interest lawsuit or something like that.
Conflict of
interest. Based on a previous contract. Non-compete. And, wow. And then Red Hat is out of the picture for, I guess, desktop Linux now. They're only doing their enterprise stuff, which...
Still desktop. enterprise.
I guess their desktop project is being pushed off to a little project called Fedora, which I have not tried myself. However, I've spoken to a few people who have, and they don't like it. So I don't know where that's going. But then again, that's in the very, very early stages. I understand that since the last time I spoke about this, that Mandrake has released or re-released 9.2. I think it might have been a fix with the problem with the setting your CD-ROM drives on fire or something like that. But I've read a little bit here and there about some people trying that out, and no comments really good or bad, just that they were trying it out. So if you have any of the listeners here, by all means, if you have please. Drop us a line and let us know if you've tried any of these new products out or have any further information on the problems that we're going to have with the lack of available distribution. Seems like everything is shortening itself down into like the little side distributions, things like Nopix and Peanut Linux and
Vector Linux.
Yeah, Vector Linux and all of those things, which
Yellow
are really
Dog
cool.
Linux.
Well, Yellow Dog is a big distributor of Linux as well. But like Slackware, as opposed to SUSE and Red Hat and what are the other ones?
SUSE, Red Hat, Mandrake.
SUSE, Red Hat, Mandrake. They're all like corporate Linuxes. Turbo Linux is real big
in last week. We said they're big in Japan.
They're real big in Japan.
Yes, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, they're all corporate Linuxes, though, and the ones that are left, like Gentoo and Slackware and Debian and things like that, are not corporate projects. They're simply a Linux community project. And I think that's really the way things are going to roll until Novell gets off the ground with its new purchase of SUSE. I really am interested to see what happens with that.
That's always Windows.
Well, I guess.
Well, speaking of SCO and Novell and all those other happy guys, unless you've been living under
McBride, off of this CRN.com, they have an interview with him on there. And I just missed my place here. But he likens Linux users with drug users. He puts us in the same boat.
That's comforting.
Hey, Daryl, man, pass me the... Yeah.
I was going to say...
Pass me the Slackware.
If you missed the keynote and the round table... What was that discussion?
It was a round table discussion.
Round table discussion on the Linux... was broadcast by the Linux show last night. But if you missed this keynote, which wasn't broadcast by the Linux show, I don't think they could. You can go to SCO.com and listen to the broadcast of Daryl McBride's keynote speech at CD Expo yesterday, where he calls us everything evil under the sun, thieves, and talks about all those wonderful things about how we do not care about copyrights, intellectual property.
We're pirates.
And licensing. And
hard.
Software thieves. Arr!
But he's not going to be... He's not... Apparently he said something about not being Sue happy and then turned around and...
Yeah, and then
in
the same breath he says he wants to go after BSD next year.
I said BSD next year. He's got a whole... In that CRN article, he's got a whole list of people he wants to go suing.
It's incredible.
That and he brought the lawyer is now part of his team there for $1 million a year. And
sure, but they're not litigation happy. You know, they don't want to get that kind of reputation that all of a sudden now they're a $60 million company when, you know, 8 months ago they had 50 cents to rub together.
Stock was selling at just around the dollar, getting ready to be devalued.
Right. He's a boy. It's a piece of work. I'd be really interested to see what happens in their upcoming discovery lawsuits with IBM, where IBM, I guess, is taking them to court to find out what exactly this evidence is that they keep saying that they have against the open source community and haven't presented us with any yet. So supposedly all this is supposed to take place before December 5th, I believe, and... it's entirely possible that this whole business would be thrown out of court and they'd have to refile at that time. Be an interesting thing to take note of.
This is true.
It is. Alan.
Yeah. Well, I had an interesting one on the news here. I was reading on NewsForge where if you're into Formula One, the BMW team, Williams team, uses Linux clusters to help tune their cars, which I just thought was... a little interesting article. Not a whole
That's
lot
cool.
behind that, but just another use of Linux.
You know what I find interesting is that we had Alan kick off the show, and he complained that he had nothing to say, and he turned it over to us.
He hasn't shut up since.
Yeah, he keeps interjecting.
I'm better at interjecting than hosting.
So obviously, Alan has a lot to say.
No, that's about it.
We're just
I've run out. I'm sorry.
Working on providing Alan a forum. That's all this is, folks.
A rant.
We could also provide your next-door neighbor a forum, too. Obviously, he's got a lot to say. Mr.
Which
Carl.
Next-door neighbor?
Carl.
What do you mean? What do you mean he has a lot to say?
Well, I don't know. He said he wanted to have his own show, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He wants to learn what's going on with this whole... He might even be listening now, but he wants to learn what's going on with this whole radio web radio hosting. And he wants to do some kind of a political commentary thing, which I think would be really hysterical to have on. Perhaps we can even just get him to run some stuff off and we can stick it on before or after, you know, just for an entertainment piece before or after our stream starts on Tuesday.
Or whatever. Scare everybody away.
Scare them away, yeah. Scare them away or really piss them off so that they listen more. I don't know. One of those.
Well, speaking of scaring away and pissing off, why don't we get hit right on the head with current events and mention those guys down south, the BC Lug, Bucks County Linux Users Group. I'm a member of their mailing list. And Link, 40 mailings in one day.
40 mailings in one day.
Two meetings and a these, month, and now they're going to increase it.
Well, wait. The last time that you and I went down there, they had five or six people. And that was like including us, right?
Right.
It might have been seven including us. And from what I've heard, like their membership attendance at their meetings is probably still hanging in about there, right?
Well, actually it dropped.
Six, seven people?
To about one, some days even one person. But now it's up to about 10 to 15 people, they're saying.
Wow.
And they're throwing in a possibility of a third, fourth, or more meetings a month.
Now, they already have two, right?
They already have two a month.
And we at the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group only have one. Now, we do have a really good attendance record. Not everybody that's a member, quote-unquote, shows up each and every time. For the most part, there are a few core people that show up, but then we usually have a really large revolving base of members, sometimes up to 30 people. I think 32 was the biggest I've ever counted, have shown up for a meeting. And somehow with that many people, we can't generate enough interest to have more than one meeting a month or any of the other fun stuff that they're doing that you told me about either. Well,
video streaming their meetings?
Video streaming their meetings.
The possibility of doing that. 4 to 5 Linux install fests a year.
Wow. And plus, they're talking about getting all this... I just drew a blank. They're talking about...
Sorry, it seems to be catching
up. Yeah, it's catching up. Alan's too close to me. Just zapped my whole brain. They're doing their video streaming and having 40, that's what it was, 40 email messages in a day. When we generate that many, what, in a month, maybe?
Unfortunately. So they're doing some really fantastic stuff, or planning on doing some very really fantastic stuff down there, which almost invites me to spend my second Tuesday of the month in Doylestown at SiteLink to get in on all the fun that's going on down there.
Well, in our defense, in defense of the LV Lug, we do have a sister organization, per se, which is the Lehigh Valley Computer Group. They have a Linux SIG run by Jeff Zartler. So that's kind of our second and third meeting, because they have two meetings a month.
Yeah, but the BC Lug's going to add
because
a
we
Linux
do have
newbie meeting on top of the other meeting.
Well, then they just catch up to us, right?
Oh, we catch up.
Because if you
we
count
didn't start the Linux SIG, though,
if you count the Linux SIG, as but we do kind of have people that go there to help support the SIG and things like that. If you count that as sort of an outreach program of the Lug, then you could say possibly, maybe, that we have three meetings a month. Even though most of the regular Lug people don't go to the SIG meetings, and most of the SIG people never get to the Lug either, but it is possible to say that. And they do have to catch up with us because we've done our really cool tech show now for, this is the 9th episode that we have broadcasted with only three sincere goof-ups by Dan.
Be nice. But everything aside, I think is what the BC Lug is doing is great. And I only hope some of that enthusiasm...
I wish it would rub off up here.
Proactiveness rubs off on Alan, at the very least.
At least with the ability to talk.
Yeah. I'd love to know, what is it that they're talking about on their mailing list that's generating so much interest?
Well, they're talking about, since there's a whole lot more involvement in the group now, what they actually want to do. They were bringing up thin clients, and somebody shared their... how they've been setting up a thin client from scratch, and other people shared their experiences with doing that. And it's one of those kind of sharing things where it's not like, hey, I just set up a, you know, did some thin client or did this. I mean, he actually described enough that you can go out there and start doing it yourself. And encouraging emails to read that prompt you to want to go out and start messing around with doing some thin client stuff.
I'll have to check that out. And then again, their website is what? It's bclug.org?
Yes, it is.
That's it, bclug.org.
And they redesigned their website, too.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. And you can go to their webpage and you can join on their mailing list or read the archives, which is what I do every now and then.
It's an excellent group. I mean, they look like they're really taking off, and more power to them.
Yeah, well, I remember the last couple of times that we went on, it was a, you know, we had good discussions and stuff, and there's some intelligent people there. I can't for the life of me figure out how they generate so much interest among the four or five people that are there, and we can't get anybody to do anything here. It's like pulling teeth.
So, any LUG members out there, LV LUG members, go to their site, check out their archives, see what the BC LUG is doing, see what the LV LUG could be doing.
That's right.
With a little more participation.
A little more member participation, I guess that's
just
the key.
Dismembered participation.
Yes. Instead of the, rename the LUG, the Dan and Link meeting, you know.
Well, we'll see what happens in December.
That's very true.
And another thing that they actually also talked about adding on was just a night to go out and hang out at a pub or something, which we've done a couple of those. But that has been...
We've sort of worked those into a regular meeting.
Right. Well, that's what has taken place of a regular meeting was to go out to... And I would have no problem going out.
They're doing an extra kind of thing,
right? Yeah, extra, in addition. And, I mean, if you count the tech show, which is, you know, Alan, you and myself... Mm-hmm. And maybe, I don't know, is anybody from the LUG actually on the tech show?
On the chat?
Yeah, well, people that show up at the LUG...
We've got a vote already for a pub on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that some people have difficulty getting to the meetings on a Tuesday night. I would honestly have no problem trying to add another day during the week. The only problem I can see... disadvantage is that we don't really have a place to meet all the time, but you know, maybe if it's going to be a small group of people, we can meet here in my house
and everybody can sit on Dan's lap.
Everybody can be happy.
You can get them all into the recording booth here,
right?
So that's encouragement for LV LUG members to get out there onto the mailing list and start. You know,
LV LUG members and
telling us what you've done.
Too, right.
What?
Get on the list and tell us what you've done.
What you damn well done, right?
What you damn well
one
done.
One thing I
what
do
you've done,
do.
What you want to do, what you're interested in doing.
One thing I do want to do, and I mentioned this to you, and I think it was it John, the guy that was in the Navy? I think it was. He was on the submarine. Remember him? I don't know if he's been.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't
remember.
He's listening. I'm sorry. I can't remember your name.
Yeah, that's terrible. But he had talked about setting up a honeypot and just throwing distributions on it and cracking into it.
Just see what happens with it, yeah.
And, you know, trying to see what you need to do, how they are by default, you know, how secure they are by default. And I thought, that, you know, I agree with him. That'd be a great idea. And I would love to set that up, and I plan on setting that up. For use for the LV LUG members, BC LUG members, whoever. But I have to wait till I get on Speakeasy before I can do that. And I need to get a couple $100 first. So I can,
Now, is that your plan? You're going to actually transfer your service from Fastnet to Speakeasy? Or
It's a goal.
It's a goal.
It's a goal.
In other words, that's what he wants, but he hasn't told his wife how much it's going to cost.
No, the wife is fine with it. Actually, I did. And she's like, you know, that's fine with me. But it'd give me two static IP addresses by included in the price, so we could set up that honeypot and just
have it. Gives you faster servers, too, though, right?
Yeah, faster service.
So that we could do our, we can show them up and get
our video stream running
first.
There we go. Alan Danson.
There you go.
Alan.
That would be just frightening.
Alan Tim McGraw Metzler.
No.
Yeehaw.
But yeah, that's one thing I'd like to do, and you know, open that up. So, with the stipulation that if you're gonna crack the honeypot, that you document everything that you do and let everybody else know how you did it. And I think that'd be cool because I'd love to know how to do some of that stuff. And fun.
That would be fun. Something we can get together and just, you know.
Fun. Until someone cracks the wrong server. That is not fun anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah, what happened to the cluster project? Whatever happened? Now, Moondog, I think, is talking about the cluster project, the LV Lug cluster project.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, the BC Lug has talked about doing that, and I think some people might actually be doing it down there. What has happened to the cluster project?
Nothing.
The same thing that's basically happened to all the other projects.
It's a victim of severe apathy.
And lack of equipment.
Yeah, lack of
that equipment. Doesn't help.
Well, we did have a project that the LUG was participating in where we had a lot of extra equipment. Unfortunately, that didn't pan out.
That was a full-time job. That was a living hell.
Full-time job working for Attila the Hun.
I would love to do the clustering thing. The cluster. We talked about doing clustering 2 years ago.
Yes, we did. It'd be really cool to set up a giant Beowulf cluster in Dan's basement. You can handle the electricity bill and the noise, right? All the fans wearing...
We need more boxes. We need more computers. Send us.
You need to get it even warmer in here.
It's not hot enough. Send us more computers. Yeah.
Dan's home for wayward computers.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to a different topic before we start getting all teary-eyed and everything.
You want to move on to a different topic, or you want to take our break now and listen to our really cool new music that
we haven't even talked about anything.
Yeah, but it's already like 30 minutes into the broadcast. Wow.
All right. Well, we'll listen to a hot little number by a group. It's actually punk this week.
Woohoo!
The cool. Byron Grill Trio. Again, we pulled this down off the Open Registry, openmusicregistry.org. It's a nice little 3-minute song. It's called Civil War. In AUG format. And we cross our fingers as I press the play button.
And hope that we're going to see you at the end of the song. Yep.
And we'll be back shortly in about 3 minutes for some more new and interesting stuff. And, of course, the final clue in our giveaway.
The final clue. Stay tuned.
Let's go!
we're back. That was Civil War by Byron Grill Trio. Evil music, I hope not. I kind of liked it. The punk genre. The punk genre, Link.
Okay.
None of that country crap there, Alan.
That's good, because I can't stand it. I gave up my country roots like 20 years ago in high school.
And over the break, Alan was making comment about another tiki bar run for the LV Lug members, and actually anybody who wants to come. And we really should plan that.
Probably best after the holidays,
right,
like you're saying.
The
holidays. So maybe, like, you know, in January, I think would probably be a good time, because nice and cool, the fire will be running down there.
That's right. So we'll definitely have to put that together. Have some more hurricanes.
Yeah.
Tiki bar. Tiki bar.
And Link can drink his wine coolers.
That's right, man.
His manly wine coolers.
No, I like stuck to Coke that night, I think, because I had to drive home.
I drove home, too, after all those hurricanes.
The white and we went to the bar afterwards, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Were you at the bar afterwards?
No.
No, you weren't there. It was just Alan.
No, I had to, go home.
Carol.
Was it just... I thought there was another person there.
No, there was, and I don't remember who.
Yeah, well, we should know.
They know who they are.
Yeah, they know. All right. Link?
Yes.
The Blog Wars. What's
blog
going on
wars.
With that?
The Blog Wars. Dan has started harassing everybody on his weblog, which,
hey,
of course, you can get.
That's not true. You declared war first.
I might have declared war, but I did not fire the first shot, sir. That was all you.
It was a preemptive strike.
Well, started with his sword going up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Started with, so you did. You did start it.
Yeah, but that was not meant to incite a war.
I'm not sure how the war started. But Dan got the sword up first.
But if you haven't caught on with this yet, the general gist of the thing is that Dan and I and Alan all run weblogs about, you know, things that we just like to rant about, and it gives us a forum to bitch at society or whatnot. And we have all been concurrently upgrading our blog sites, adding graphics and things like that, and it seems like it's become a one-up contest, so we finally just declared war on each other. And at this point in time, if you haven't seen the blogs, you really need to check them out, because we've got bloody heads on them and everything else, and it's pretty funny. It's entertaining.
And it also improves your skill with the various graphic manipulation. And
oh, absolutely. You poke a little fun in there, and then you end up doing all this stuff.
I have a lot of work ahead of me with this one.
Alan has to play some serious catch-up here.
Yeah, Alan's woefully behind. I think we should both just attack him head on. So we get to him.
Attack of the Allen heads.
Yeah, so.
See, it all started with Weather Pixie, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what? Right. He's the one that
started it.
Sorry. I just realized that. Maybe I started it.
We were all happy with our, you know, generic little text weblogs, and he had to go starting this.
Putting graphics
on there and weather pieces.
He said mine
and stuff.
Was too plain.
What's that?
You said mine was too plain. That's why.
Well, he just wanted you to add some color, man. That's all.
It was all white with white with black text. It was very very graphic.
And you had to go and add the fancy little weather pixie there and the little Bert and Ernie
terror alert
status. And so I had to add, you know, some graphics and stuff and change my CSS on mine, which, of course, prompted Dan to change the colors on his, and then he started playing with stuff on his header, making a nice banner, and, you know, I had to retaliate.
I like the ones and zeros background. I really like that.
That's pretty cool. I don't even know where I found that, but I've been kicking that thing around for the longest time.
I'll give you that. I like that. I'm going to find something. Goatsy.
Goatsy.
No, goatsy. We'll go away from goatsy there.
Linksy. So if anybody else out there has a blog, you know, let us know.
Yeah, we really would like to check it out. So.
And if you don't have a blog, why not?
Right, why not make one? What's it cost you? Nothing. And, you know, you could be providing entertainment for another person just like we are, you know. If I get bored, I go check out Dan's weblog and find out that he hasn't posted anything in 5 days. Then I go check out Alan's weblog and find out that it's been a couple since he posted anything. So I go post something myself, you know.
Well, I'm usually pretty. I try to get at least once a day, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I'm so boring that I, why bother to write about it? It just makes me more depressed.
That's when you, folks, that's really when you find out how boring your life is if you have nothing at the end of the day before bed to post in a blog. You know that you have.
Because if you look back at Alan's log, you can tell that he's posting once a day. Yep. We got
Roughly.
Thursday the 6th, Sunday the 9th.
I want to have them kind of week.
Monday
right
the
there,
10th, man. Wednesday the 12th. Okay, Thursday the 13th. Then we got the 15th, 18th. Yeah, we've gone from like every other day to now every Thursday.
Every Thursday, I'm getting back on it. Just, like I said, there was just some times where it was a boring day.
That's all right, Alan. I forgive you.
That's okay.
We'll give you a little bit of leeway. I mean, you did install Slackware finally, so we can...
I mean, you only
eventually it's got to get onto the laptop here, and that'll be a project. We can. That'll be our install fest.
Hey, Dan, you got a copy of 9-1 laying around, right?
Yeah. I've got a copy at home. I just haven't had a chance to play with it on here.
I don't know. I'm looking at my blog postings. I seem to do, like, little shotgun spurts, and then...
2-3 posts, and it's a week and a half later.
Then I come in, I'm like, oh, how'd the right self fit? All right. I
mean, mine is pretty bad if I've gone like 2 days without posting. Usually,
and one thing that I really apologize for, Alan, it's not fair, is that I'm noticing that on the tech show blog, the link to your blog isn't there. But there is in the menus off the main page, but...
Oh, I don't know.
Link show blog.
Oh,
and we'll fix
that's
that.
Bad. That's bad.
You know, actually, I think it was on there, and Link deleted it.
No way.
And I'm not going to take the fall for that one again. So definitely check out, you know, please check out our blogs. So let us know if you have any blogs. Email us at the tech show at
thelinuxlink.net. Let's give them the actual URLs while we're at it here.
So they can just go to the tech show and...
Well, you just said Alan's blog isn't on the tech show.
No, it's on the main page.
Oh, it's on the main page. Oh, okay.
All three of our blogs are on there. We definitely love to add more people's blogs off the site. I have to add him, his link to his blog, or one of us does. Actually, we should give Alan the capability to come in and edit the Linux Link Tech Show blog. Because, you know, he might not have a lot to say on the show. He might be a writer kind of guy.
Sure.
And we should probably talk more about Alan... Like he's not in the room.
Yeah. Said whole third person.
Yes. Like he's not even here.
One of the things I did put on, I was playing around with last night, is a little application called Amphidesk, which basically it goes out and gathers. If you visit a whole bunch of different blogs, rather than putting them in your bookmarks, what this program will do will allow you to put them all on a list, basically. And it'll go out and get the headlines from each one of them.
That does like RSS feeds from news sites and stuff too, right?
Yeah, it takes an RSS feed.
You can grab it from Slashdot and from FreshMeat and SourceForge.
And it just throws it on one web page for you, and every couple of hours. You can set it different times. So I have mine set for like every hour. It'll go out and you can get a, you know, refresh all the pages and see what's new and what isn't new on it. Installs in Linux. It's not that hard to do. There's a couple of Perl modules that you can get off of the CPAN. Real quick install. And it's actually a really neat little program. If you visit a lot of different weblogs, and rather than keeping them all in your bookmark, you want them all in one general place, it's a nice program to look up. You can get to it. I don't know the address off the top of my head. Here, let me look it up. It's disobey.com/amphidesk.
But Dad, you got to link that
it's a link
on your weblog.
It's a
right?
link on my page to it. So
there you go.
You can go right to find my page, and then you can go right to that link. It's a neat little program if you got a bunch of things and you want to save some time.
Oh, yeah. So, let me check that out. That's some cool stuff. I wrote some... that's one of the kinds of programs I've been thinking that I need to write for myself, just as a challenge, because I did write some little bash, like, script modules that I have available on my website that grab the RSS feeds and parse them out from Freshmeat and Slashdot, and then slap them on sidebar on my webpage. So I probably could write something to do the rest of them, too. But it's just something, it's pretty neat.
And speaking of blogs, Mellophone has a blog at oddprocess.org.
Cool. Yes, I read his. It's a really good one.
Very nice. Looking very nice.
He
outdoes us on graphics.
Dude, look at this. Mellophone, you outdo us all. We're going to have to fix that, though.
We need a Mellophone head now.
We got to have a Mellophone head.
Please submit a picture.
Yeah, please send us a picture. It's only fair.
You know what? I think if we keep looking through his site, maybe we'll find one.
He's got something somewhere.
He's got a spot on there for pictures, so maybe he's got a picture in there.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, do we have one?
Oh, man, look at that. Select by year.
Oh, that is no
fun. Mellophone.
Jeez,
what a nice site. Wow. All right.
Link. That is cool. Well, you wanted to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff.
I got some other stuff to talk about. I got a problem going on at work. A real funky problem. And we have this weird thing going on. We have a Novell network, Cisco backbone, Catalyst 4000 and 6000 switches. State of the art, man. Gigabit. Switch 100 megabit out to each desktop. Anyway, I'm getting complaints that people are having a problem navigating on the network. It's taking an extraordinarily long time for files to open, to navigate the directory structure, to save files. Applications that are delivered via the network aren't showing up. Weird, funky things. So I get a call today. I'm sitting there. Actually, I was on my extended break, making a picture to put on the blog. Anyway, I got a call.
Hard
work. From one of the teachers. I was practicing my GIMP skills so I can further enhance my graphical design capabilities that I use on a regular basis.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Anyway, I got a call that a teacher was trying to open up a shared Word document. It was three levels down from the main map drive, and it was taking forever. Now, the interesting thing, Link, is I walked over to the Linux box. I walked over to the Windows box that had been logged in with an admin level, and I, too, had a hard time navigating the directory structure. It was taking significantly longer than it should.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk over to the Linux box, fire up the graphical Novell client off from SourceForge on a SUSE, which isn't, you know, compared to Slackware, SUSE, I think, is a little slow.
Right.
Anyway, but it's a great system. Mounts the drive. Actually, the server shares, no problem. I do the listings. I move through the directories. It's lightning fast. So I think, okay, let's see what happens when I do this on OS X. I go over to OS X. I log into the server, mount the share I want. I move through the directory structure without a problem. No problem at all. Why is it only Windows? Where's the problem? Where's
Windows
the... What?
Because Windows sucks.
Okay,
there you go.
That doesn't solve the problem, though.
What solves the problem is format space C colon. That's what normally solves the problem.
Now, we do have IPX on the network, but we're running primarily IP. The clients connect via IP. The Linux connects via IP. The Apple connects via IP. I've been trying to encourage the network engineer to remove IPX because we really don't need it anymore. And we haven't been using it for a while. But I still think... don't know, it's a tough one there. If it's only affecting the Windows machines, where do we find the problem? Where is it? Now, you know, you do one of these things where you call up Novell and you say there's a problem here, and they're going to say it's not with the Novell network, and Microsoft's not going to say it's with the Microsoft software.
Of course.
And Cisco's not going to say it's with the Cisco switches. In the meantime, every other operating system's working like a bat out of hell. It's a perplexing situation. Makes me want to cry. But it doesn't make me want to cry as much as the whole licensing thing that I had to go through this
week. Oh, yes.
It was terrible. Macromedia, Dreamweavers, reported to be the number one web development application / tool in the world. And it's a really nice application. I wish they had it for Linux. But this isn't just a Linux-only show. It's a tech show, Link, so
right,
we can talk
right
about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Macromedia itself is a fairly pricey product. And they have another product out there called Contribute. And I learned about Contribute when I was at the Macworld Expo taking some sessions on Dreamweaver. They came in selling Contribute. And basically what it is kind of like a Dreamweaver Lite. I mean, it has just about all the capabilities of Dreamweaver. It's a WYSIWYG editor, but it's geared towards the non-web professional or person who's adept at creating web pages, you know, and coding and everything. It's sold as the application that you give to the people you design the website for so that they can make minor changes or additions to it. So if they want to make a change or add a page, they don't have to call you up and have you come skipping in. And it sounded like a nice product. They showed it was a nice product. And what the big selling point that I said for me was, they said for school districts, $1,000 is going to cover all your users. Now, I took that to mean that $1,000 is going to cover all our users in the school district. So I called up, I convinced my supervisor that we can purchase this thing. This is the way to go for all our teachers to be able to create their website, be able to design templates for those people who don't know how to do anything, which all they'd have to do is just
plug the stuff in.
Yeah, plug their text in, and they'd be good to go. And it says for $1,000, even if it stinks, I mean, it's something to try out.
True.
So I call up CDWG. Our vendor, Steve, a nice guy. And he's like, okay, there's two prices, $900 and some for the 500 user license, and then $1,300 for the 500 plus. And I was like, well, I don't remember hearing that at the show. So I called up Macromedia, and I explained what I wanted to do to the person and whether the license would cover it. And I said, I just want it for 300 people, so I'll get the 500 user license. And I'm going to use it in my district so that all the teachers could update their website. And they're like, yeah, that's no problem. You'll only be restricted to installing it on 500 workstations. That's it. You can do it. All right. 3 weeks later, after we put our order in, I get a call back from the guy at CDWG. He says to me, Macromedia wants to know what school this license is going to. So I'm thinking, all right, tell them it's going to the high school. You know, this is the main high school. The day later, he calls me back and says, they're not going to sell you the 500 user license. You have to buy the 500 plus user license because our total student enrollment is more than 500 students. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to use it for the students. It's for the teachers in the district.
Hmm.
You know, so he's like, but they won't sell it. Like, they won't release the license to me. And they're saying that it only applies to a building. So we call Macromedia back to get the fools, you know, to get the real skinny here. What's the deal? And now I'm hearing something else. So basically, their license is this. It's a school-wide license. Now, school-wide means building. Not entire district.
Not entire district.
Not all the schools.
Per building.
The building. There's two license options you have. 500 or less students gives you a 500 user license you installed on 500 computers in that building. 500 plus allows you to install it on up to 750 computers in that building. So what originally was billed as a $1,000 solution for us, for all our teachers, has now turned into a $6,000 solution. Because we're going to have to pay, based on student population in each school, $1,400 for the high school and middle school, and then about $1,000 a piece for each elementary school. And to top it off, we are not allowed to use it at the district office because it's not a school.
It's not a school, yeah.
So technically speaking, we're paying for license for everybody in the district to use it or to have it installed on what is it, 5, 10, 1,500 and for about 3,000 computers it can be installed on. And we only want to use it on 300.
Right.
Now, the flip side is, he said, the other choice you have is to buy standalone copies. And that's going to cost us $49 a piece for a total of $15,000 for 300 copies. Which, at that point, you'd be an ass not to buy the licensing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. And of course, Mellophone's over there saying front page time. And it would be a cold day in hell when I want to put front page there. Because I just, that's... it's sad.
But I did, when you told me about this the other day, I did mention that there have to be some open source or otherwise projects out there to do this. Did you find anything that you could possibly use?
There are some. The problem with a lot of the options that we have, and not just with the open source, but with a lot of the products, is there's not a lot of, quote, WYSIWYG editors out there.
Right.
So it all depends upon the person knowing a little bit of code. Or else you have to have some serious customization capabilities for them to really enhance their sites.
But what about, aren't there like some kind of, you're running your web server off Novell, right?
Yes.
Isn't there some kind of a template system or something that you could use?
Yes, there is. There's a product that we're looking at that the IU offers called eBuilder. But in my playing with it, it doesn't really provide for a lot of customization. They're limited to 5 pages. You can add one graphic to your home page. Unless you know how to code HTML, then you can really make some customizations.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot in the way of flexibility with regards to the templates that are offered. And I don't see any capability to create your own templates either. Now, if we did an in-house solution like you're talking about, it would be a good idea. You can do some creating with templates. But I think what gets lost in that whole thing, which Contribute really fills in, is that middle level. Like a basic person who has no idea how to do this could come in with a template or with Contribute.
Put something up. Right.
And then the advanced user who knows how to actually code, then you can actually, you know, start doing stuff. But then there's that middle group where Contribute would fit in really nice, that they'd be able to start, you know, slapping stuff up, making it really look spiffy, but yet at the same time start learning how to code. There's that middle area that Contribute really fills in nice.
Right.
Of course, there's a, you know, we'd design something from the ground up using PHP, or what else? We use Java, whatever. But that would take a lot of time.
Perhaps.
Yes. But that's, you know, that's my licensing woes. But hey, rejoice, because we just got 60 copies of Microsoft Money in, and I was given the privilege of having to install them in the business lab.
Oh my goodness.
Because nothing makes my day brighter than seeing 60 copies of Microsoft Office. And you know what?
How many reboots was that?
How many licenses?
How many reboots did you have to go through?
I haven't installed it yet.
Okay.
And what doesn't make any
circular
sense
file,
to me,
yes.
Is why do they send us 60 box copies? I mean, the full box, pull it in, it got that DVD-like case, got the CD in there. What a freaking waste. Why didn't they just send us one copy and say, 60 install licenses, it on 60 yep. machines? I've never used Microsoft Money. I don't plan on ever using Microsoft Money. I would rather use Quicken any day of the week than Microsoft Money.
Well, you use that GNU cache, right?
I used to, until it doesn't work. Until they get it ported over to the GNOME 2, I've been using CV Tracker.
Oh, which is what I use.
It's working really great.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I don't like in CV Tracker is it always tries to add a check number.
Right.
I don't like that. But I loved GNU cache when I had it running, and I'm just waiting for them to get it into the GNOME 2 tree.
I use GNU cache, and I think that's really nice.
It's a really neat. I watched a presentation done by Jeff Serler.
Tons more than what I'll ever.
Oh yeah, this is all kinds of fancy reports and all kinds of, you know.
What, GNU cache?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It does all those fancy reports and did you print your checks and
you do stocks.
Stock option things and all kinds of financial, you know. Me, I'm just a working stiff. I'm good with a checkbook, you know, little checkbook program. That's all I need. I don't have to worry about my stock portfolio. Okay. I understand that GNU cache does do that very well, though.
And it just sounds nice, and it works nice, and it looks nice.
Since the tech crash, I haven't had to worry about my stock portfolio.
Yeah, there you go.
I know everything I have is worth zero. Than that.
Yeah. New cash. Soddy Potty. We didn't mention Soddy Potty yet. Right.
What is Soddy Potty?
Soddy Potty. It is a vector-based drawing utility. Kind of like,
keep reading that thing. It's like Fooly Cooly.
What's that?
It's like that one of those cartoons on Cartoon Network. Fooly Cooly. Fooly
Cooly. I don't have that installed on anything yet either. I have to do that.
Dude, I have a package for Slackware made over there. What are you running, Slack 9?
This is 9.9, yeah.
I have a 9.1. It might work. But Soddy Potty is great. If you're familiar with Illustrator, even if you're not familiar with Illustrator, get familiar with Soddy Potty.
You're talking to the guy who uses XP to draw stuff, man.
But it's nice vector-based application. If I would have to say only complaints about it, is it doesn't have any guidelines right now. So if you're placing your points, you have to watch. It's like the little arrows on the side of the GIMP windows. You have to watch that. But if you're trying to move a point after you've placed it, the arrows don't move, and you have to sit there and guess. So it's like, oh, man. But hopefully in a future release, they'll have that. If you're at all familiar with the GIMP link, Soddy Potty is kind of approachable then.
Okay.
If you have a familiarity with that interface. Now, the tools are completely different.
Well, it would have to be because GIMP is not a... it's not a drawing tool. It's a manipulation tool.
But what's nice is you can export your paths from Soddy Potty into the GIMP. And you can import them into the GIMP. You can export your paths that you create into from the GIMP in the Soddy Potty.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Oh, great Slackware master. We have a question on the IRC here.
What's that?
Does Slackware use dpkg for install of programs?
No, Slackware uses its own packaging system.
Install package.
Now, you can use the Debian Package Manager, and you can use RPM. And I know that you can convert RPMs to Slackware packages, but I'm not sure if there's a Debian package to Slackware conversion utility. I doubt it. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I'll have to look at that. But no, Slackware does have its own packaging system. It's actually a really simple packaging system.
I love Slackware's package system. It reminds me a lot of the BSDs. It, pretty much you just do install package and then the name of the package, and it's all done.
Yep. But as Paladin asked, does it do dependency checking? No, it doesn't.
Nope.
No. That's a limitation there. But Slackware users know they're in a system inside out, so they already know. You know, they look at a package and they say,
in all fairness, though,
I have that dependency.
It may not do dependency checking, but I have yet to see when you're installing a package that has a bunch of dependencies, almost always will you get a message on your install that tells you what the dependent packages
are. What it actually needs to know.
Or normally, if you get them from, if you get your packages from a good place like
Linux Packages,
you'll get a list of dependencies that, that you really need to fulfill or need to check for.
Or else you have to do the LDD.
Right, or else you end up doing LDD on the binary, find out what you're missing. But even then, you know, the packages are nice and tight and small. You can get them really fast and slap them on. Everything works great. It's a really nice system. If not for the package dependencies, but if you've been around Linux as long as Dan and I have, then you can remember what it's like being in RPM hell as well, where you just have 9 zillion dependent packages and they don't tell you what they are. So,
and that's the truth.
Which is, of course, why we moved to a
defense of Red Hat there. You can put apt-get on Red Hat. There's a version for apt for RPM.
Well, sure, you can put that on Slackware too, though, right?
Yeah, which does allow, you know, it does go out and do get all the dependencies you need and stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've used it on this one since, you know, day one that I put it together. I've never even figured out the RPM on this one anymore because they changed the package. You know, it used to be K package, which was a nice easy interface for me.
Right.
The one they put on here, I could never figure out, and I just said to hell with it and went over to apt for RPM, and I've never had to worry about, you know, trying to get a weird package or anything like that. Obviously, I don't run anything really weird on here either, so that's never been a problem. And a few times I do want to install something, you know, it's a simple RPM minus UVI and cross my fingers.
Right. Right. I'm very happy with the package system that exists currently in Slackware. If they manage to make a system that does check for and install dependencies as well, hey, I'm all for it. Until then, I will muddle through. Just because the rest of the system is so much better, in my humble opinion, than most, if not all, of the other Linux distributions out there.
Yay.
Yay, happy, happy.
Of course, now we're starting a war with
right now, the Debian people. All the Debian people are going to go, nah, you guys rot. Well, we all run Slackware over here, so...
I do like Debian's package manager.
I like their package manager too, and I think they have a good thing going with Debian itself as a whole. And I would love to try it and like get used to it on a machine. The one thing that's holding me back is the god awful install manager. That horrid experience that they call installing Debian on a machine, that is the worst. Outside of OpenBSD, that's the absolute worst system I've ever seen in my entire life.
I put a little page together that went through my experiences of installing that. I got to put, now giving me something to put on my blog. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I just can't stand it, man. And worse yet was, like, I tried to do, not being familiar with Debian installs. Okay, I've tried a few of them before, mm-hmm. and I've managed to get Debian installed on a couple of computers. However, I never managed to get X working afterwards, which was a pain in the butt. But then, as a project, I tried to get Debian installed on a PPC, on a Mac.
Yes.
Debian PPC installed, and trying to get that thing run was, you know, some kind of nightmare, man. I still wake up in cold sweats dreaming about that one.
I did get that working as well.
Ooh.
I got that working. Actually, I got that on two machines working.
That's scary, man. I am, as far as Mac PPC ports, man, I'm a yellow dog man all the way.
I did want to try that one when I got the that other Mac from a buddy of mine. I did want to try that, but unfortunately the hard drive was not big enough for me, so I wasn't able to try Yellow Dog like I wanted to.
My only complaint with Debian was the whole everything and your neighbor's kitchen sink approach when I went to do a custom install. Mm. And I went to pick my own packages. Little did I know. Woo! That would take a week and a half to pick my own packages.
Well, I went through, the last time I tried this was, was it Woody or something that came out? I tried it. And you go in and they have these two systems for deciding what kind of Debian system that you want running. And I don't even remember the name. But I went into the one where I picked, I wanted a desktop type, a normal desktop system. And then it put me into some menu where you like pick all your packages
I stayed out
yes,
of that.
Yes, task cell.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That is, and for someone who doesn't, who hasn't done Debian installs, you don't know that you don't need that thing. I had no idea. So I went in and I picked the kind of system that I wanted, and then it throws you right in the task cell without asking me anything. And I'm trying to figure out what packages I want. Well, then I come to find out that task cell never even actually grabbed any of the packages that I picked. So, like, I went through and did all that for nothing, and then I went and did my first app get, and then it grabbed all the stuff from task cell, which didn't work with what I wanted to do on the computer. It was really a mess, man.
RTFM.
RTFM, yes.
I actually
WFM.
I actually printed out that whole manual to.
Did
to
you really?
Yeah.
How many pages?
Well, I use my Xerox account at work.
Wow. So. Yeah, I bet your company liked that.
Yeah, I bet they did. But yeah. Now, as far as reading the manual for Debian, I can do 4 Slackware installs in the time it takes me to do 1 Debian install, and I'm of the opinion that Slackware runs better, so I'll just kind of stick with that.
Oh, well, I can see that as being misconstrued as fighting words.
Yep, it's fighting words. I honestly believe that Slackware is a better distribution, and I'm prepared to back it up.
I like that response. If you
really want to have a customized distribution, then go do Gentoo. But me, I'm not going to do that either because I don't have 3 weeks to get my operating system installed. Oh, come
on. And Alan's over there struggling with his install of Lindows.
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah. But you know what? In the end, it doesn't matter which version of Linux you're running. We could all live happily together.
Yeah. I'm just happy that most of the people I know actually run Linux as opposed to... But you know what? It's becoming easier and easier now to convince people that Microsoft is the holder of the evilness of the universe. Especially when they start getting their bills, for... they want to upgrade their computer to XP or whatever it is, and that cost them $300. And then they figure out that they need to have the new Office 2003, right, that just came out. That cost them $300, and, it's unbelievable.
And we get all the same for the price of a download.
Right.
And let's right. not...
We can all be happy with Linux or nothing.
As we're... showering our love on Linux. Don't forget BSD.
That's right. Well,
free, net, open.
We all know that I really like NetBSD, and in fact, if you read my web logs, you find out that I have recently even a couple of posts about that on there.
And don't forget Windows. We're sharing a love.
I am not forgetting Windows at all.
BEOS.
Doing our best.
BEOS.
BEOS was cool, and they should make that live again. But it's unfortunate that it went away. But we really do. We really should have a dedicated show to the BSDs at some point in time. And we need to get our good buddy Flash here, who is the associate professor of computer science at Muhlenberg College. And he's a big, big free BSD advocate. I'd like to get him on here and just hit him with the questions and see what kind of thing he has.
have to get back to the computer lab there again and do a special Tuesday night show.
That's right.
I think it's about time.
It is. We're running
we
way
need
over
to
time.
Do the,
we need to do our.
It's about time.
We need to do our clue and let some of these nice folks go back home and go to bed.
Now that you rile them all up.
That's right.
You're launching your attack into the deviant unit.
Hey, well, you know, we really need to get some kind of some. Hey, did anybody hear that duck? We really need to get some kind of people riled up about this show so that we can get some more people listening and get some feedback on our stuff.
We'll get them riled up too.
Yeah. Tell your friends I said their distribution sucks and tell them that they want to tell me different than they have to get on the show and tell me. Tell them to get on the chat and I'll be happy to listen to them spout off, you know, or whatever. But, you know, definitely it helps increase our user participation. So, LV Lug members, you all suck too. And if you don't think you suck, then you need to get on the mailing list and tell me why you don't think you suck. So,
yeah, see,
distro smash.
Tough words coming from a brave guy who's not going to be here next week.
That's right, he's not going to be here next week because I'm going for Thanksgiving dinner in New York.
These days. Maybe going to get denial.
Oh, yeah, Moondogs. Yeah. Moondogs, he's going to write the Deviant users mailing list. Get them listening. Tell them to download the. Yeah, I bet we get some good downloads off of that, though, for the show.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Perhaps even an interview. We need to get a Deviant guy in here. Yeah, perhaps even an interview. We need to get a Deviant guy in here to tell us how wonderful it is.
Well, tell us. Show us.
Yeah, show us.
We can bring us the system. They can leave it
here. And they can...
A 700 megahertz or better system.
There you go.
to replace my 400 megahertz system. All right, Alan is going to give us the third clue this week. Now, we ain't giving away a 700 megahertz system, but it is a 450 megahertz system.
Right. And it's a good system. This is the same kind of system that we actually push the stream from for the tech show every week, and it seems to manage and hold its own, although the one that we are using constantly sounds like some kind of jet engine taking off, but it does work pretty well. This other one doesn't sound like a jet engine, does it?
I haven't even turned it on yet.
We don't know. Your computer might sound like a jet engine too.
No, it won't.
Try not to make it sound like a jet engine.
We'll just take the fans out. Then it won't.
Yeah, we'll
like
take
anything.
The fans out. It'd be really quiet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this week's hint is, according to Dan, very simple. On it. So, it's 3766.
Want to repeat that?
3766.
3766, folks.
Go ahead, say it again.
3766.
All right. And if you want to, if you don't remember what the other clues were, you got to download the archive.
That's right. You're going to have
it's
to
all,
hit the last
the archives, yes.
The last two archives for the first two clues. But if you put them all together, we're hoping. I don't know about this last clue because it took me a while to catch on this one too. Dan wanted to make sure it was really, really easy. It was so damn easy that I couldn't figure it out for about 3 hours. If you want to catch this, or put all the clues together and be able to win this PC, you're going to have to put all three clues together and try and figure out where that's going to take you and let us know what you find when you get there. So, have at
it. You'll find instructions.
Yeah, you'll find instructions.
It gives away two-thirds of the damn...
No, it doesn't.
Clue.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I could give away everything except for the last piece of the clue, and they wouldn't figure it out for a month.
That's not nice. You know damn well someone's probably already emailed the answer right there.
It's going to be next week, and we're going to have to give them another clue on top of your last clue.
So let us know. Hopefully someone will have that in the very near future. Thank you for listening. Good luck. Next week, we will probably be rebroadcasting. Link won't be here.
I will not be here. I probably will be on chat, though, if I can manage to get to New York on time.
We will probably do a little bit and maybe some best of stuff. But that actually requires more work than doing a show.
That would mean that you would have to actually compose some material beforehand. Guest host. Mellophone wants to be the guest host.
He has just volunteered, it looks like.
Yeah. Absolutely. He wants
come
to come
on
in
down.
Here and do the Slackware show, or do the Debian show.
Excellent. Thank you for listening. I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to let everybody else say goodbye.
Yeah, I'm going to say goodbye, too. And everybody, thanks for listening so far through 9 shows, which is pretty impressive for something that we did just kind of haphazardly, you know, and in a couple hours' notice we started the whole thing. And I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, since I am not going to be here next week, and I won't talk to you again for 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and putting up with my completely terrible intro, I thought. But we'll see you next week, or we'll talk to you at least next week.
Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, and here's the Ruined Linux Show. Whatever the hell we call it. Have a good one. Bye.
It's not playing, is it?
It's not playing. There we go.
Pulling the Flink Tech Show.